Hello?
Guess the operator can't get on either.
Go ahead. Go ahead. We're not recording. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the ThinkWith PDP Working Group call on Tuesday, 19th March 2013. On the call today we have Roy Balesi, Don Blumenthal, Amar Elsad, Christopher George, Alan Greenberg, Galen Hoover, Susan Kawaguchi, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Steve Metlitz, Susan Prosser, Tim Riz. We have apologies from Mikey O'Connor, Mark Anderson, and Jill Titzer. And from staff, we have Barry Cobb, Marika Connings, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much. It's Alan Greenberg. I'm the virtual Mikey today. And I was not on the call last week, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the recording, so I'm working a little bit blind. But Marika has sent out a number of documents that I see were partially reviewed last time, and we're going to continue that process. And I would suggest that we slightly alter the order to do authoritativeness first, because if I remember correctly, that's Steve's section, and he has to leave relatively shortly. And yes, can someone tell me to what extent you already reviewed it last time, because I don't have that knowledge.
Well, Marika, I think Marika can fill you in.
Okay, Marika?
This is Marika. Just to explain, so basically on the last call, we went through the report that Steve submitted on behalf of the sub-team. On the basis of that, we had some further discussion and some issues were identified. And on the basis of that, I drafted the document that's currently up on the Adobe Connect, and that was also circulated to the mailing list last week, with the idea being that this is basically the chapter on authoritativeness that would get inserted into the initial report. So what I basically tried to do is translate some of the questions we had as part of the template into headings and call out some of the items that were part of the sub-team report as well as part of the discussion we had on the call, and then at the end translate that into a conclusion, again, based on what was submitted by Steve on behalf of the sub-team. And as you'll see, there's, I think, one item that I identified as a question. I think in the second paragraph, basically it says there, it appears that registry data is treated as authoritative, and I'm asking there, would it be possible to actually specify by whom that is being done? Is that the registry, registrar, ICAM, or all three of those, so we can be more specific in the report? As said, this was sent out for comment to the working group mailing list, but as far as I'm aware, I haven't seen any comments, edits, or suggestions from the working group on this document.
Okay, thank you, Marika. I do have one comment, and that is the UDRP does treat registrar data as authoritative, period. Now, that's probably due to the reason that the UDRP was written when there was only thin registries, because it predates the first thick registries, but nevertheless, it still stands as the Bible that which UDRP service providers use, and they are told that the registrar is authoritative. So, and it of course doesn't differentiate between thick and thin. So I think we need to at least mention that. Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve. I think we had that in our, this has been through a couple of drafts, and we had other documents that circulated within the subgroup, but you're right, and that certainly could be mentioned. Probably in the third, or in the second, it could be in the second or third point.
Well, second and third, I guess it should be.
Well,
I guess for thin registries, there is not much choice,
right.
other than the dates, the locks, and the name of the registrar. They don't have any of the data.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, it could go in the second one because, as you pointed out, both for historical reasons and because the vast majority, I would venture 99%, of UDRP cases involve thin registries.
Right.
You know, we could just add a sentence in there.
But I think we need to note at the very least that if we recommend going to a thick registry, I don't know whether we want to explicitly say that one of our recommendations is that the UDRP be changed to reflect that, but at the very least we have to note it.
Yeah, I think the problem with changing it, I mean, the other question there is, all right, so we've had thick registries for many years. The UDRP has made the registrar information authoritative. Has this presented a problem?
I don't think it presented a problem because when the issue was brought up on the UDRP locking PDP, I recall at least one of the UDRP providers said, oh, that's interesting, but had never become, you know, was never really aware of it. So it clearly hasn't caused too many problems. My understanding is on rare occasions there are things like court orders that require a domain to be transferred to another registrar, and the losing registrar's databases may still reflect that they're the registrar of record. So that kind of problem can happen. But I presume even in those cases, the registry's data is what is used to identify who the registrar is. So
yeah,
that wouldn't be problematic in that case.
Yeah, I think we pointed out that is the case in the second sentence on thin talks about that.
Yeah.
As far as Marika's comment, I mean, I think we could probably just say it's generally treated as authoritative. We didn't go into detail about in whose eyes was it considered authoritative.
Well, let me read that again. I don't see how it could be anything else but the registry data. I mean, all we're talking about essentially are the dates and the identification of which registrar it is. And any registrar could put up data saying, I own IBM.com or I sponsor IBM.com. But only the registry knows who they would accept, renewal orders from and things like that. So by definition, the registry is authoritative on those items, I think. I don't think it's a matter of judgment. So I'm not sure we need to specify who it is, because we end up with a paradox if the registry isn't authoritative on those items.
Maybe we just say registry data is authoritative, take out treated as.
I think so. Or must be authoritative. Any other comments on this one, or are we happy with this goes into the draft report?
Speaking as the convener of that subgroup, it looks fine to me.
Okay. Marika?
Yes, it is, Marika. So just to clarify, I should add a note, either a footnote or in the text, on the mentioning the UDRP and noting that there, in that case, it's the registrar data that's considered authoritative, and adding the generally before treated, you know, where the comment is highlighted. Did I get that right? Are those the only two changes?
I missed what you said on the last part.
Steve suggested that what I've highlighted in yellow, to clarify there, that basically just to say it appears that registered data is generally treated as authoritative.
That's fine.
Authoritative. Okay, I'll make that update and send that to the list for...
Yeah, and I think the proper language is the UDRP deems the registrar data to be authoritative. Because they are instructed to go to the registrar for the data. All right, let's... wrap that one up, and then we go on to stability. And if I understand correctly, Marika, that is the section on stability that I originally submitted and that was redrafted to put it into standard language and such. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Marika. That's correct. And again, I think here we added a couple of comments that came up in the discussion last week.
Right.
And again, here I've added a couple of questions in yellow. The first one is, we noted there, and I think that came probably from your draft, and maybe that's one of the comments that says, some working group participants are of the view that having personal data at multiple sites makes that data more susceptible to attack or misuse. And I've asked the question there, is there any data or sources that support the statement that we could include? And then there's you want to cover that first?
Yeah, I will comment on it. I'm not sure it is salient to the discussion of stability, but it was raised by at least the NCUC and maybe NPOC, I don't remember, under this stability question. So I personally do not think it is relevant to stability, because they're saying, yes, it may make it more stable, but... And the but falls under the data protection, the privacy and data protection subgroup. So I'm not particularly sure that statement is relevant in this section. I included it because I didn't... otherwise, I was ended up in a position saying everybody agrees that thick is better for stability. They introduced it, and I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. So I guess I look to the general consensus of this group as to whether we keep that sentence in or not. The data protection, data privacy and protection group will presumably come up with a judgment as to whether there is data to support that statement or not. So I'm happy to leave it out altogether.
This is Marika. Actually, the sentence after that does already indicate that the issue is being addressed in the section on privacy and data protection. So
yeah,
it will be referenced there. So indeed, I don't know if we need to include data here, but I think in any case, it's probably already a call then for the information we'll need to include in that section, that if there's any data that we can include, I think that will be really, really helpful to get that information together.
Right. I think once we... get the output from the protection and privacy group, we may want to revisit this and take that sentence out or leave it in with some modification. But I don't think we can really close it off completely until we have their results. And it may be we'll take it out because they're addressing it well somewhere else. But I'd prefer to leave it in right now, perhaps highlighted with that comment, just so we remember it's there. And the last question on the last sentence was something that was introduced last week, and I'm not sure what multi-master replication is, so I'm going to have to leave it to someone else. And I see that seems to be the question that you're asking also.
Well, this is Marika. I did a bit of Googling and found that information, but I think seems to indicate that that's a kind of technique that's being used to replicate or have different, have a master database, basically, so...
Yeah,
I'm not exactly sure, but I just wanted to make sure that the reference I found on Wikipedia, whether that's an appropriate link to provide there if people want to have more information, or whether there's something better we can include. I don't know if there are any kind of specifications or anything we can refer to. So I actually asked Rick or in the comments, but I don't know if he has noted it, so I can forward this to him separately as well, unless anyone else has any suggestions or opinions on whether we can just include the Wikipedia explanation of this technology, or whether there's anything better we can include there.
Yeah, it strikes me, though, that this sentence really is not talking about stability as such, but perhaps data integrity or something like that. Because when I look at that, the first question I would ask is, if you're going to use a synchronization technique, is which one do we synchronize with? And I suspect as with the authoritativeness, some elements are going to have to be synchronized from the registry, and perhaps some from the registrar to eliminate inconsistencies. Jonathan.
Hi. I'm just speaking up here. I'm not on this subgroup, but if there is some desire to learn more about multi-master replication and why it's important or different, et cetera, I'm happy to talk about it. I guess I might be the geek of the group. I can also try to find some kind of material. I haven't looked at the link, Amrika, that you shared, and that may be sufficient, but if you want me to look for something else that helps to describe it, I'm happy to do that. Or happy to discuss it, however you'd like to spend your time.
Well, I'm not sure we need to dictate the methodology, and I'm not sure it's within the remit of this group to mandate that a specific methodology be used, just that if there are indeed problems, then there are ways to address it. We can certainly suggest a way. I'm not sure I would want to mandate it, because potentially we're talking about a relatively large and onerous software implementation there.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think that this group ought to set up a goal set for, you know, a set of use cases of how the system would be used and problems that need to be avoided, and then it should be up to the technology folks to implement those use cases and avoid those pitfalls and with whatever technology makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like an offer if anybody wants to understand that, but I agree with you that it's not really the remit of this group to get into that level of detail.
Yeah, and to be candid, if you think about it, there are very few things where the board's ability to pass emergency consensus policy due to stability or security of the DNS applies. And if indeed we were to find that there are regular inconsistencies between the two copies on a thick whiz, that's probably one of them. That indeed, if something comes up quickly, it could be acted on, but I'm not sure there's enough indication that of a severe problem that we would want to mandate some sort of complex synchronization on before going ahead with it. Is that my
or even have standing to do so, really?
Yeah. Well, we have standing to do so if indeed we could demonstrate that there's likely to be a problem. I don't think we can do that. Okay, how do we go forward on this one? Since Rick is not here, who apparently made that comment initially, do we want to keep this one on the back burner and bring it up again next week? Marika?
Listen, Rick, I can just, you know, send a note to Rick, because as I said, he may not have noticed the comment in the document, so I can just maybe forward it to him and then, you know, asking the question, and based on this feedback, I can, you know, share an updated draft or update the working group next week on the call.
Yeah, I certainly haven't heard a lot of call-outs here saying that we want to be very prescriptive about how to handle possible problems. I think we can certainly note that, you know, there is the possibility of it, but there certainly hasn't been a lot of problems reported in that area to date. And yes, we don't have the majority of data of registrations in thick on GTLDs, but it is also used widely on ccTLDs, and I haven't heard reports of those kind of problems either. Okay. What do we have next? Next we have escrow, I think, which is not, I gather, has not been reviewed by this group yet. Is that correct?
This is Ricky. Yes, that's correct. So basically, okay. The whole document is there, so people should focus on the second and third page of the report. I don't think we sort of call out. I don't think we covered any of the questions. So I think that's okay. Where we basically left off on the last call.
All right. How were you doing this last week? Sorry, my mouth is not working. How were you doing this last week? Just reading out each section and seeing if there's comments?
This is Rick. I think basically the sub-team leader, or, well, in the case you weren't there, I think Mikey did it, basically just provided an overview of what is covered in here and asked group to comment on whether they agreed, disagreed, and on the basis of that, I would then, you know, take that away and write up the proposed chapter.
Okay, thank you. Jonathan, is that a new hand or left up from before?
Oh, sorry, left up from before.
Okay. And still up unless, oh, now it's finally down. Maybe things are sluggish today. All right. Well, the issue is in a thick model, we're looking at, okay, sorry, I'm trying to focus again. The standard questions don't apply. I noticed, so I tried to mangle them to make some sense. Marika, I don't know what you're going to do when you reformat them, but you're inventive enough that I'll leave that up to you. Question one is define the issue in the thick model. Who is currently stored by the registry and registrar and two escrow accounts. I did check, by the way, on whether there is any prohibition or, in fact, notice that the two escrow accounts could well be stored at the same physical location, and currently they can. So it's an interesting comment, again, since the thick who is and multiple escrows exist already, and no one has ever noticed it. I don't think we want to make a recommendation not to do that, but I certainly think we should note in the report that the possible benefits of two escrows could be lost. Any other comments on question one? Seeing nothing, question two. Describe the circumstances of the data escrow in a thick who is environment with registrar escrow. Under today's policies with thick who is, the data is stored in four logical locations. In case of failure, the data may be available from up to three other locations. No question. And I put the up to because of that problem of if the escrow data disappears, it's possible that both of them could disappear simultaneously. Number three, the circumstances in thick who is without registrar escrow, and this is where one of the statements sort of got, the question got changed. If we have thick who is without registrar escrow, the data is stored in two logical locations. In case of a failure, data may be available from up to two other locations. Identify the advantages of two escrow accounts over one. Multiple escrow accounts imply additional fallback options. And noting that in the real world, catastrophic failures are almost always the result of multiple simultaneous failures, and therefore the more backups you have, the more likely you are to avoid catastrophe. Downside is cost. Question six, does the data imply we are recommending double escrow if we recommend a thick model for all? And according to the input from the stakeholder groups, most parties agree that multiple is better than fewer. Some feel that four copies are excessive, and I think the sum in that case was registrars and VeriSign, if I remember correctly. And this does not specifically recommend a third model, but it adds another check as to the reasons why thick who is should be required. Marika.
Just a question on question five. Should there be additional costs to registrars and registries?
No, because no one is questioning whether the registry has escrow or not. The only suggestion that we eliminate one of the escrows is the registrar escrow.
Oh.
I mean, right now, registries already escrow their data. There admittedly will be more data, and that could well increase the cost, I guess. I don't know how escrow, how the charges of escrow applied. If anyone here does, you can chime in. but certainly we're not adding an escrow service. We are increasing the volume of data.
Yeah, listen, Rika, maybe I can just add something, and possibly more cost to registries as additional data is being stored, something
surely.
Like that.
Yeah. But we do note that the registry stakeholder group supported. So if there is additional cost, they apparently feel it's a reasonable one. And question 7, if your response to question 6 is that Thick Who Is should be recommended, provide additional considerations with regard to implementation in relation to escrow that should be taken into account. And the summary was, on balance, all but one group agrees that if Thick Who Is is adopted, there should be no change to the current escrow rules. At some point, ICANN should explore the implications of two escrows, which could conceivably be stored at the same site, removing the benefit of the duplication, and the implications of registrar integration, which could result in having those two sites co-located. That didn't come out of any of the comments, but I thought it was appropriate, because those are issues which will change the numbers that are referred to above. Comments? Questions? Silence. Everyone's dropped off the call. They need more coffee, or everyone's happy with it. Okay. Carolyn is typing something. Carolyn, you can speak if you'd like. More coffee sounds good. Okay. Okay, Mariko, what's next on our list?
This is Mariko. Next is synchronization and migration reports, which I believe we haven't received yet, but I see that Susan Kawaguchi is on the call as the sub-team lead, so she may have an update.
Then we turn it over to Susan if she's actually on the phone.
I am, but I got dropped, so I wasn't for a while. So our team didn't have much to say about synchronization and migration. We really focused on synchronization more, but and if you read the comments, you'll see that people didn't have much to say about that either. So, you know, that, in my opinion, that brings me to the thought that synchronization isn't that big of a deal. There was nothing that came out of the transition of .org that would indicate it was a major problem. And, you know, I occasionally see issues where the registrar is not, and this is completely anecdotal on my part, but I have seen issues where the registrar had incorrect data compared to the registry data, but, you know, that's very few and far between. So for the most part, people concentrated on the cost, the stability when transitioning the data, and the number of records involved. But I think none of those are big hurdles to overcome.
Okay, thank you. I put my own hand up. Two comments. Number one, it strikes me that Rick's comment on synchronization and multi-master replication really falls under synchronization and not stability.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And the other question is, Susan, your anecdotal evidence where the two are not in synchronization, are not synchronized, and the registry has better data, which elements does it have data on?
Creation date. I've run into that quite a few times. So whether or not, the registry has to know the creation date.
Yeah.
So what I do is always get the registry history, at least from .com, when I'm trying to nail down a date just to confirm it.
Okay. That almost makes sense. You can imagine scenarios where if the domain is transferred from one registrar to another, somehow, you know, they end up with their creation date, or the date that they first saw it there, or something else, because it's information they would have had to retrieve. mostly in an automated way, but not necessarily.
Right.
So it's that's believable, certainly, and that's why I said if we're looking at automated synchronization techniques, some of the data has to come from one side and some from the other. It's not just a uniform copy.
Right.
Hard to imagine a situation where the contact information would be more current in the registry, unless the registrar had note failure and restored an old database or something.
Yeah, that could make sense. And I really haven't seen, most of what I do is .com, so it's limited to the thin. Most of our problems in GTLDs are .com, not the rest of the GTLD. So,
okay, Susan, can I plead with you to put something in writing? It's tedious, but it really will help us go forward.
No. I did. Did it not get out to the group? I sent it last night. Did you not get it, Marika?
Susan, no, we didn't. I think you already referred last week on the call that you had sent something as well. But are you sending that to the sub team or to the working group mailing list? Because I'll check. Because I think there may be something. If you can maybe forward me the emails, and I'll look into what the issue may be, because I haven't seen them even, nor to me, nor on the mailing list.
No, I haven't seen it either.
Huh, I wonder what happened to it.
I'm not on your sub-team, though.
No, I didn't send it. What did I do? I am so sorry. It was a busy day yesterday. No, I read something, and I thought, oh, done. And I'm wondering if it's still sitting in my outbox or didn't go for things.
This is Barry. Maybe you perhaps send it to the notify list instead of our main mailing list.
I have no idea what I did because it's not in my SIN folder. So
we'll leave it to offline, but I'll leave it between you and Marika to coordinate and somehow fetch it.
I'll send it directly to you, Marika, and you can.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
It always amazes me.
I was wondering why you didn't upload it.
It always amazes me that what should be one of the simplest technologies of the Internet fails so often for various reasons.
Well, I think this is user error, but...
And that may be the most common one, but at some level we sort of assume it's perfect, and it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we have next? Start a review of competition in registry services, if time allows. Do we have a document for that?
So this is Marika. So what I've put up is actually our table comparison, because for this topic we don't have I think we have a dormant sub-team, I think, as part of the survey. Some people indicated specific interest in this topic, but I think the idea was, based on our work plan, on these topics, maybe to work through these jointly and, if possible, be able to identify a rapporteur that would draft up a report similar to the one we've had on stability and as well as on data escrow that we can then use for discussion and then transform that into a chapter for the initial report. So the idea would be to actually look at the comments based on what is in the document on the screen to basically identify what the positions are. And again, on the second page, I've identified for each of the topics specific comments or concerns that were expressed by those that submitted that. So we could have a look at those as well and see if there are any specific responses we can provide. Although I think in relation to this specific topic, there were no particular concerns. I think there was just there was actually a question that more information would be needed. So maybe the working group should actually discuss or determine what information is needed, and if so, how we're going to get that information.
Okay. It is an interesting question in that we have answers ranging from more competition, no difference, and less competition. Going to be an interesting one to summarize. And if I look at the summaries. We're saying somebody is doing something on this phone.
And this is Marika. Just to jump in quickly, just to clarify, I was actually looking at the wrong one. I was looking at the cost implication one, the competition and registry services. And actually for that one, there are a couple of comments that are on the second page that were identified by
the okay. response. Roy asked the question, did we talk about question six? Question, Roy. Roy is the strong data escrow. Yes, we did. Let me see if I can quickly pull it up. The answer, the summary was most parties agree better, more copies are better, but some people felt it was excessive. I don't think we had any substantive discussion on it other than to note that it was indeed the responses. Roy, do you have any specific comment? We might as well go back to it right now if you'd like to.
Oh, thank you. This is Roy. Thank you. No, I will agree with that statement. I just wanted to make sure that that's what it was.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, I don't think it's changed. And I realize I have my hand up, and I can't put it down.
Thank you.
That's interesting. My screen is frozen. Marika, I'll let you take over while I somehow make my computer work again.
Yeah, this is Marika. Your hand here is actually down. Sometimes it just helps restarting Adobe Connect. I've had that issue
yeah.
as well.
No, it seems to have woken up. Okay. So we are looking at cost implications. I'm sorry.
Competition.
We're looking at competition. Sorry. Can you lead us through? I don't have a copy of this at hand that I can actually read very well. So, Marika, I'm going to ask you if you can take us through the comments on this one.
Yeah, this is Marika. So in the broader overview, there were three that basically felt that there would be more competition as a result of requiring SIG Whois. Two responses that indicated that they felt there would be less competition. One that said no specific comments, and two that responded that they didn't expect any significant difference with the current situation. And then looking into the comments that were raised in relation to expecting less competition, comments from the NCUC and the NPOC. The NCUC comment basically says, a competitive factor will be eliminated. Transition of current registries operating a thin model would not only deprive registrants of this option in future domain name registrations, but would additionally take away this benefit from current registrants who have already made this choice. And then the NPOC comment says, if all registries are obliged to use the same model, all of them will end up providing the same standardized Whois services, which will place them on an equal foot, no competition, specifically regarding this type of services. And as you'll see there as well, together with my team, we started trying to fill in already some of the comments or notes and trying to aid the discussions on this topic. So basically, in relation to the NCUC comments, we noted here, registrar agreements already include a provision that the registrant consents to transmitting all of the data, regardless of the TLD, to the registry. So it's not clear how a transition to SIG Whois would take away this benefit from current registrants. And in relation to the NPOC comment, we noted SIG Whois relates to what data is published by the registry, not necessarily what Whois services are provided.
I put my own hand up. I guess in my mind the issue hinges, the importance of those comments, it hinges on what the benefits are of thin versus thick to the registrants. I mean, I understand that they would no longer get be registered in a thin registry, but I'm not sure what the substantive benefits are of that. If anyone can help, or does any of the answers address that? I know that reflects back into the privacy and protection issues, which are being handled by the separate subgroup, but other than those which are being looked at by those group, what are the benefits that we are talking about? Amir?
Yeah, hi, this is Amir. Sorry, I have to keep my voice down because I'm in a university library right now. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, I think the issue here is with registrants who are aware of the procedure for handling who is conflicts with the privacy law, ICANN's procedure for handling who is conflicts with the privacy law. This gives an option, a competitive option, to registries working under a thin model, so that registrants who register their domain names with registrars located within countries with privacy laws to register under these TLDs. If all registries adopt a thick model, then this would sort of make it a more level playing ground between different registries. Am I correct or wrong in that assumption?
Well, okay, but what you're saying is it goes back to the privacy issue, the privacy and data protection issue.
So there
are no other benefits other than the ones that are being looked at by the data privacy and protection group.
Well, what I'm saying is that some registrants might want to take advantage of privacy and data protection laws. If all registries adopt a thick model, then this advantage would be lost. And from a business sense, that would be a competitive edge that is lost, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I'm just trying to analyze how we fit it in our model. So if the data privacy and protection group comes out with a statement that there are substantive differences in protection and privacy associated with thin versus thick, then that could imply a competitive difference between the two. If the data privacy group, on the other hand, in their analysis, decides and recommends that there are no substantive differences, then if that's the only benefit, then that reduces the competitive difference between the registries. I'm not presuming the outcome. I'm just trying to understand the impact of the outcome on this one.
I'm sorry. Are you saying we should defer this point to the data protection and privacy subgroup?
Well, if the only benefits we're talking about are the protection privacy ones, then I don't think we have any choice but to defer to that group, because that's the group that's looking at that issue.
All right, sure. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And anyone else have any comments on this one? So, Marika, if I understand, if these are the only two substantive comments, then again, it hinges back on data privacy and protection, whether there's close to unanimity on this when we summarize this issue, or there are substantive differences.
This is Marika. Based on the initial or the first page, I think the majority agrees there's either no difference or more competition as a result of requiring thick QoS. It's only indeed. So the conclusion I drew was most agree that there will be more or no difference in competition if thick QoS would be required.
And I think under our bylaws, we view more competition as better than less.
I'm not really sure if it's a bylaw clause, but
I thought one of our initial mandates is to encourage competition. I mean, given that when I can came into existence, there was no competition.
Yeah, actually, absolutely right. So I think the other question then is, maybe you want to first go to Avery, who has a hand up. Oh, she dropped it again.
I don't see a hand. It hasn't shown up on my screen yet. But Avery, if you want to speak up, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I did, and then I wasn't sure. I think you are right that it does hinge on a previous or another question, the privacy one. I think that an argument could be made that there is an opportunity for competition, though no one has taken advantage of it yet. And so this would probably be a place where there was, you know, as I think Marika was saying, majority opinion, but a also another opinion. So, that would probably be an accurate way of putting it, is that, you know, there is indeed a little bit of a difference of opinion, but it does hinge on another subject.
Yeah, and that's the way I was looking at it, because I haven't heard, now I may be oblivious to it, but I haven't heard, you know, what would you would put in the advertisement saying we're a thin registry?
Oh,
if it isn't related to privacy and data protection.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm moving things to Iceland because I think, you know, people can get better privacy there. But indeed, I can't think of any other reason to move to Iceland.
Okay. So the benefits referred to here are data privacy and protection ones. So it does hinge on what that subgroup is coming out with.
Right.
Okay.
But it still would be a minor opinion on this issue.
No, I know. But, you know, in the imaginary world, if we all agree 100% there are no data and privacy issues, then there are no benefits that we can pinpoint in this particular issue. I'm not presuming that's the outcome, but I'm saying if we decided the privacy and protection ones are moot, then there are no longer any benefits that we could tout a thin registry for. And therefore, it does revert back to that other subgroup's deliberations. I mean, and just to follow through and belabor the point, you know, if we found out, as Marika had raised in an earlier issue, that there are very significant cost benefits to a registry because they didn't have to escrow all of the data but only a few elements of data, and they could therefore lower the cost of a domain by 50% because of it, that would be a competitive advantage and a benefit. That we could list independent of the data privacy issues. Marika.
This is Marika. Maybe just focusing already on the next step on this topic, because as I said, I think the idea would be that hopefully there will be a volunteer to write up a similar report as we did for the other topics between now and the next call, because, you know, we have an ambitious schedule and we're trying, I think, to complete as much as we can between the different meetings. So I'm just wondering if there's anyone willing to volunteer for that.
Is there anyone willing to volunteer for that? Anyone who hasn't drafted something that will take on this one? It's relatively simple. Please? If I whine and cry, will anyone do it?
That never helps.
I've never tried whining and crying on a call. I don't know.
Alan,
all right, Marika, I think it's going to fall on you, because I just don't have the capacity to add anything onto my pile right now. Or maybe we can give it to Mike.
Well,
let's assign it to Mikey.
There's plenty of other people that are not on the call. Even assign it to. This is Marika. I'm happy to take a first stab at this, and then that probably, especially looking, you know, to Avery and some of the other members of the NCUC and MPOC, to really make sure that, you know, their concerns are accurately noted, or if you want to already include like a minority statement on this issue, that they share that with Liz.
Just consider, Marika, if you write it, you don't have to rewrite it then.
<Good point. laughs>
All right. How are we doing on time? We're 5 minutes before the hour. I don't think we have enough time to start on anything else. What do we need to assign or make sure gets done before next week? Marika.
This is Marika. I don't think there's anything, as we've said before, it would be really good if people can have a close look at this at the table to really make sure. I already got some feedback from the MPOC, and we've updated the information accordingly. So if there are any other items, and as well on the second page, if already people have ideas or suggestions on how we can start responding to the comments or providing information there, I think that would be really helpful. I'll work on the pages on data escrow, synchronization and migration, and competition and registry services. Hopefully, I'll get all of them ready for the call next week. For the next call, I'll also have an update for you in relation to the questions that we put forward to the expert group. And then I just wanted to know that I think you probably all will have already seen that the schedule for Beijing is out, so the face-to-face meeting for the FICWHO is working group is scheduled for Monday morning from 7:30 to 9, and some breakfast and coffee for you there. But no promises.
If there's no coffee, I go back to bed. Thank you, Marika, as always. Thank you, everyone else. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Some of you sooner in other groups. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.